Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Corumdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about, is winsomeness enough?
We're kicking the year off with a couple podcasts related to cultural topics. Last week, we considered what's going on in China. And this week, we are tackling an article written on the ERLC website, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, written by Andrew Walker. And the title is Cultural Winsomeness is Not Enough. And so we want to frame that as a question. Is winsomeness enough? Here's the gist of what Andrew Walker wants to argue. He wants to say, hey, Christians in America have this way of thinking that says if we're just warm and winsome and friendly to our neighbors and we're not brittle in how we hold our views, but we're charitable, and that will gain us credibility. And I think I'm guilty of that way of thinking. In fact, that's sort of enshrined in the DNA of Corum Deo as we talk about engaging the culture and the church must engage the culture. We've just always said, man, we want to be the kind of people who are winsome and warm and not defensive or brittle or, you know, fundamentalist-y in how we sort of hold our beliefs. And we sort of always believe that that matters to people. Mm-hmm. People respect someone who's not defensive or sharp or harsh in how they hold their convictions. Andrew Walker wants to argue with that assumption. This article is written November 13th of 2018, so it's a couple months old now. And he's suggesting, he's writing out of an event that happened at UC Berkeley in California, which, of course, is a campus that has a long history of certain kinds of activism going all the way back to the Vietnam War. So here's what happened. I'm going to summarize the event. Isabella Chow, who is a student senator at UC Berkeley, the student senate was asked to vote on something related to transgender rights. Isabella Chow is a Christian. She abstained from voting. So she said, I'm going to abstain from this vote. In other words, she did not vote no. She did not vote against transgender rights. She chose not to participate. And she did that because of her Christian convictions and just said, look, I don't want to be drafted into a cause that I have moral concerns about. What has happened since then is she's been disavowed by her own political party. A petition has been signed calling for her removal. She's been editorialized against in the student newspaper. The whole campus has sort of basically turned against her because of her Christian beliefs. And Andrew Walker is saying, look, here's a person who in everything she's written and said has been as winsome as you can imagine a Christian being in a situation like this. She's very diplomatic. She's very deferential. She is not brittle in how she holds her views. She's just saying, hey, out of my personal convictions, I just want to abstain from this vote. And she's been vilified for that. And so Walker says, what's the lesson in this whole situation? Here's his assertion. This story is a reminder that no amount of cultural sophistication or intelligence will absolve the Christian from being seen as a backward-thinking bigot. I say this because there's an evangelical temptation that believes if we can just communicate orthodox beliefs in the right way, if we can appear as nuanced as possible, then those on the other side of the aisle will see us as goodwill, reasonable actors. We're tempted to think that finding the right aesthetic or tone will resolve the underlying tensions that exist when Christianity confronts the world with an ethic that the world does not want to hear. He's basically saying, hey, be winsome, be civil, be gracious, be polite, but don't count on that not being, don't count on not being vilified and counted as a bigot because you're being winsome. Because he's just saying, I think we've moved beyond the point where anybody cares about your winsomeness. They only care about, are you willing to embrace the sort of progressive vision of sexuality or not? I think this is really interesting. I don't know if I agree or disagree with sort of Walker's contention here, but I think it's an important place for us to invest some thought. Because I do think my own sort of perspectives on this have shifted a little bit. In the early days of Corum Deo, when we had this core value, the church must engage culture, I think this is what I meant by it, is like, man, let's be winsome. Let's not be afraid of conversation, debate, discussion. Let's engage neighbors, people who don't think like us. This is part of what the church has always done. I think more and more I'm realizing that, yeah, and even when we do that as well as we possibly can, it doesn't necessarily engender goodwill. with those who have decided that we're just bigots, or that it's our convictions about gender or about exclusivity of Christ or about the gospel that are the issue. So I think it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, definitely. There is, though, Bob, wouldn't you agree, somewhat of an expectation that maybe implicitly has come with this strong call to be winsome that's happened over the last 15, 20 years, that, and maybe some of that is born even out of some of the seeker sensitive stuff from like the 80s and 90s, where, man, if we just package things in a way that is respectful and loving, that, man, people are going to at least want to have a conversation with us, and people are going to be okay with what we have to say. Maybe it's also, there's a little bit of a, some of the hangover of the, hey, that's true for you, but this is true for me, that maybe defined, you know, the previous decades, but now we're a little bit more ideological state. And so I think to some degree, the church is probably created somewhat of this expectation, and it probably is a carryover from previous sort of cultural moments that have kind of passed us by and some Christians aren't even really aware of.
What do you think, Bethany?
I think I want the idea of winsomeness to...
You don't want to give up on that.
I don't want to give up on it. I'm a 9 on the Enneagram.
Either. Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to be nice.
Get along.
I want everyone to like me. I want... yeah.
I'm with you. I think winsomeness is a gospel virtue. I think honoring others and being charitable toward others and being charitable in disagreement and being kind in debate, these are all the ways Jesus was with his opponents. So I think there's just a virtue here. It is interesting to me that Walker seems to be saying we've kind of elevated winsomeness to like assuming that it has some power. And he's saying, I'm not sure it has the power that we think it has. And I get what he's saying there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true in my own demeanors. Like I just assume, well, of course, if I'm nice to you and if I disagree with you charitably, then you're not going to be hostile toward me. And I'm like, well, I've actually experienced people being hostile toward me, no matter how kind and gentle I try to be in holding my beliefs. And so it is interesting that, you know, maybe his point is well taken, that we've expected winsomeness to do something that maybe it can't do.
Yeah. But it's interesting because, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but to me, the other option just seems then to be defensive, and I don't like that idea.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend my life being just like super defensive about this. I don't know.
It's funny to me. You mentioned the cultural moment we're in, Chris. It's funny to me to read, for instance, Martin Luther, and to think like he's literally the least winsome person I've ever read. Like there's just a ferocity with which he engages debate that's actually sort of endearing. It's sort of like, I don't think you could do this and get away with it today, but there's something sort of interesting about it. And, you know, the cultural conventions of that day were quite different. So it was back in a day where you could robustly disagree with someone and they would not take it personally. And I think we don't any longer live in those days. If I speak strongly against your point of view, even Chris, people today have a tendency to take that very personally and feel like, well, you're rejecting me.
Well, there also seems to be a pushback against winsomeness to some degree. I mean, you look at our political debate now.
We've moved beyond that.
The rhetoric is just, hey, the more I can like smash you, the more I can like get at you, the better. I mean, because hey, the time for being nice is over. I mean, if I'm winsome, that means I'm thoughtful or nuanced, that means I'm just enabling, you know, harmful ideas. And so in some ways, you know, winsomeness might even lose that sense of virtue that you pointed out.
So it's interesting to think about Pastor Wang Yi's letter that we read last week and think about like, to what extent is that or isn't that winsome? Like I hear him there being respectful, but also like very strong. And it's got an interesting tone to it because the letter wasn't like he was trying to come across as like, if I just talk enough, you'll agree with my point of view. He was sort of saying, whether you agree or not, here's my convictions and here's where I'm standing. So it didn't come across as sharp or as harsh, but it did come across with a different sort of forcefulness than sometimes we hear when Americans speak of these things.
So what happens when we try to be winsome and it fails? Like what goes on inside our soul? Do we resort to fear? Do we resort to anger? That's a question for me too. And maybe, you know, hey, listeners, you can email in your experience of failed winsomeness. But it's a curious question to me because I mean, what I think of, you know, my experiences were, you know, trying to be winsome with people and it goes sideways, depending on who I'm talking to. I've both resorted to anger, but I've also sort of like felt like, man, maybe I wasn't as winsome as I needed to be, or maybe, there was something that I did that was wrong. So it's very easy for me to sort of like get self-reflective about the way that I'm engaging someone, or just get outright angry. And it's like, all right, I tried to be nice. That's not working. And so now I'm going to be a jerk.
I wonder if a little bit what Walker's pushing, because as you were talking there, Chris, I was thinking about who are the current voices that I listen to that seem very winsome. I think of people like Tim Keller, like Russell Moore, like Karen Swallow Pryor. I think there's people out there that like have a very winsome and warm way, and like they'll do massive media interviews and I think are come across as very kind in that, even though they're holding historic Christian Orthodox convictions, they have a way of being very diplomatic and charitable in their conversation. And I have a real respect for that. I wonder if what Walker's getting at here is that for the average Christian, is there a sense in which the call to be winsome has replaced the call to have convictions? And so that like we're leaning on winsomeness as the determining factor instead of leaning.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I think about this. Yeah. I think about how often do I pray for people I disagree with? Versus just thinking of new ways to have conversations with them that would get, you know, that would move the ball down the field in a more winsome way. And I think actually there's a way in which I believe that my winsomeness will gain something rather than saying, maybe that's the Holy Spirit that's going to have to work. And I don't know. I just think, I wonder if modern Christians lean on winsomeness in ways that maybe we shouldn't, or that another way of saying that is to say this. I think as a pastor sometimes about how many people in Coram Deo know how to share the gospel with their neighbors or have a conversation with someone who's a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or a, you know, and could actually explain the gospel in a meaningful way versus how many of them do I trust just to have a nice conversation with their neighbor? I trust almost everyone in our church to have a nice and winsome conversation with their neighbor. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, but the ability to like, meaningfully talk about like theological issues, I'm like, I don't know that there's many people equipped to do that.
Yeah.
And so that's another way of saying is, have we replaced sort of like training in evangelism with just sort of like equipping in winsomeness?
Yeah. So maybe a way to say it is winsomeness is necessary, but not sufficient in gospel proclamation.
Yes.
That it needs to be there, but it alone is not enough. And so it has to be attached to the wagon of conviction and the wagon of theological clarity when it comes to the gospel.
Yes. And it's funny to think about who are the voices that sometimes I don't feel are winsome. It's people like Rod Dreher, people like Doug Wilson, but I feel like, but there's ways in which I really respect the level of conviction they have about important things. You know, it's like they sometimes come across as brittle. They don't have the same tone that a Russell Moore or a Tim Keller does. And yet, sometimes I feel like, but I don't want, if I feel like this, if this is my big extended family, I want the crazy uncle who will just go get in a fight with someone because we need that guy on our team.
Need the brawlers.
Like
we need
some
brawlers.
If everybody was winsome, if everybody was a 9 on the Enneagram, we'd all get along well.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to start a fight every once in a while, you know? And so I don't know. It feels to me like maybe Walker is trying to tap at something here and say, hey, have we landed on winsomeness in a way that expects it to do more than it really can.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm also thinking about how, okay, so you listed off the people who you think are currently like pretty winsome in our culture, like Tim Keller and Karen Swallow Pryor. And I think about like how they interact, like what their social media feeds are like. They never seem to be super reactive like on social media.
Yes.
Like they might tweet something after you can tell like they've thought about it. And so I don't know. I was just thinking about that. Like there's kind of like a reactivity that's pretty prevalent right now. Like you have to, like once something crazy happens, you have to have an opinion and a thought on it right now. And if you don't, you're, I don't know. And so I just think that you can tell that they have thought about it, that they've prayed about it, and that might be something that people just we feel like we don't have time to think about it. I have to respond to this right now and do that maybe in, I don't know, not with conviction.
I think of the question as I'm raising my kids, you know, what demeanor and disposition do I want them to have? Well, there's a certain sense in which I want winsomeness to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. But I also want winsomeness to be secondary to conviction. You know, like, first of all, I want them to care about the right things. And then I want them to hold those beliefs with a certain kind of charity and winsomeness. And it almost feels like those are kind of building blocks. You know, like, some people are just very winsome people. And so their demeanor is just, you know, they're just very kind and hospitable. And I feel like, well, almost any conviction those people hold is going to feel very winsome to me. Mm-hmm. But I think those people are few and far between. I think it's more common, even in the Christian world, to that we start with, like, what conviction should I hold? And then we're trying to figure out, how do I hold those the right way? You know, how do I hold those in a way that is appropriate to the spirit of Jesus? And sometimes maybe in discipleship, we're starting to get those reversed, where it's like, you know, like you were saying, Bethany, we're so used to reactivity, and so much of us know what a negative tone sounds like. It's like we want to get the tone right first, and then establish the convictions of, like, okay, now I have the right tone. What things should I actually care about?
Yeah.
And it's almost like maybe that's backwards. You know, maybe a little bit of what Walker is saying is like, hey, you know, if we're leaning on winsomeness, it's not going to get us there. We have to start with, what are the foundational convictions that we need to hold firmly to? And winsomeness is, like you said, it's necessary, but not sufficient. It's an important virtue for us to build, but the first layer is, do we have biblical convictions about the right things? And do we know what it means to, I think about the requirement of an elder, Chris, in 1 Timothy 3 is the ability to refute those who contradict. So it implies there's going to be people you have to fight with. There's going to be arguments you need to get into. There's going to be debates that have to be had.
Yeah.
And Christians have to be willing to enter into those spaces and have those conversations. And there's a sense in which, to the chagrin of nines everywhere, right? Not every conversation can be winsome. Like, sometimes we just have to say, you're wrong, or we're going to agree to disagree, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we have to be able to say winsomeness can be a vice.
Yes.
It can become a vice. And even think of the example of Christ. He wasn't winsome all the time. When he talks about the Pharisees, I mean, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs. That's not winsome language. You don't envision Jesus saying that with a big smile. Oh, you brood of vipers. You know, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs, you know, have a nice day, guys. No, I mean, that's very strong language that appropriate for the people he was talking to at the time. And so I think, you know, again, not that we all have to find our, you know, I think sometimes people who push against winsomeness are just looking for an excuse to be jerks and to go off, you know, with a ton of anger and blast people. So, you know, we have to be careful of that as well. But I think, to your point, Bob, like, I mean, we have to start with conviction. Otherwise, because if we make winsomeness the virtue, it very, very quickly becomes a vice, and it becomes imbalanced in the way that we're to talk about the gospel.
Maybe here's one statement from Walker's article that I think can help put a point on this. He says, "No amount of niceness, civility, or winsomeness will pacify those voices who will hate you and your Christian values, no matter how sophisticated you appear." That, I just want to hear his words there, and I think about, like, again, as I'm raising my children, I want you to know, hey, there's people who are going to hate you. It doesn't matter how nice you are. There actually are people in the world. Jesus said, blessed are you when people persecute you and say all kinds of evil about you falsely. And I think maybe there's a little bit of naivety in Christians of just like, I don't know why people hate me. I don't expect someone to hate me or to think I'm a moron or an idiot or a bigot or backwards or, you know, totally regressive. But there are people like that out there that just, no matter how nice you are, they're just not going to like you. And embracing that and realizing that's part of what it means to be a Christian. Part of what it means to be a Christian is there are people who think you are ridiculous and they're not going to feel a need to be nice to you. And, you know, putting that rock in the bucket early and saying, all right, that's out there. And I'm going to have to learn how to deal with that. And I'm not going to let it crush me when that happens. Hopefully it doesn't happen every day. And hopefully it doesn't happen in every relationship, but that's going to be true. I think that's a really important foundational conviction of discipleship. And to the extent that people don't realize, hey man, there's no way that everyone's going to like you and that everyone's going to think, oh, you know what, because you're a warm, winsome person, I just really respect you. Nope, I think you're dumb because you're a Christian. You know, that those people exist. Now, again, I think for the most part, God's, you know, gracious to put me around even neighbors that I disagree with seem to be friendly toward me, and that's great, you know. But I was raised by parents who said, look, if you're going to walk with Christ, people at your school are going to think you're an idiot, and they're not going to invite you to parties, and they're not going to want to be your friend. And that's just part of that comes with territory. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you think of even Tim Keller, who, you know, I don't think you could ever out-winsome Tim Keller.
It's true.
Was it disinvited or wasn't given an award at Princeton because of some of his convictions? And I mean, even Jesus said, like, no servant is greater than his master. They hated me. They will hate you. So you're right. We can't escape it. And that's, again, where winsomeness can potentially become a vice if we're trying to use that as a means to escape it rather than from a heart of love and conviction. So maybe a question is asking, what's driving my winsomeness?
Mm, yeah, that's good. To use a baseball analogy, I was going to preach a series a few years ago called Take One for the Team, and the elders were like, no, you can't call it that. Because that's a dumb series title.
Yes.
But because I was coaching baseball at the time, and like there's this sense of, right, when you're in a tight baseball game, one of the ways you get on base is you lean over the plate and take a pitch in the shoulder and you get walked. And so there are players who, like, this is their specialty, is like in a close game, they're really good at knowing which pitch can I sort of lean in on and just let it hit me. And it hurts. It stings pretty bad, but you get on base. And there is the idea of that series is like, hey, sometimes as Christians, your job is to lean over the plate and take one for the team. Like, if you've never been beamed by a fastball because you're a Christian, you might not be in the game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that the willingness to say, hey, you know what? Every once in a while, there's going to be someone at work or someone in my neighborhood or someone in my family or someone in my group of friends or someone on social media that's just going to vilify me. That's okay. That happened to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I should expect that.
I think so for somebody like me who doesn't like conflict and doesn't, like what I said earlier, generally wants to be well liked by everyone, I think it's kind of like a call to be courageous more.
Yes.
For somebody like me. Yeah. And that's kind of a tough pill to swallow. I'm like, I don't want to be courageous. I'm fine functioning as I have been. But I mean, it's what we're called to do.
Yeah. So this is one of the reason we're starting the year with thinking about this topic together is just to acknowledge, hey, the culture is constantly changing, the culture that we're a part of. The ground underneath us shifts every day, and we're always having to re-engage and reimagine what does it mean to be Christians living on mission in the world we live in. Last week, we read this statement from a pastor on the other side of the world who's in a very different cultural context, and I hope it was refreshing to hear what courage looks like in that world. And we wanted to engage this article from Andrew Walker just to acknowledge, hey, for some of us that lean too much into winsomeness and sort of expect it to do things for us, there's a need for us to embrace marginalization. There's a need for us to embrace being hated or being disliked or being rejected. That's part and parcel of the gospel in our world. And so hopefully this gets you thinking about, is there a need for this in your life? How do you not, don't reject winsomeness. We want you to be winsome. But where are the places where you need to be willing to stand up and be hated or be vilified for the sake of Christian conviction?
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from our listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, future podcast topics, send us an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.